Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Hello, hello. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood looking for a wonderful journey through the discussion of the issue today. Let me just give you a little heads up. We're going to be talking about the camel's nose is in the tent. The camel's nose is in the tent. We're talking about Islam. You've heard the old cliche, the colloquialism of years and years and years now, that you just let a camel get his nose in the tent and ultimately the camel will be in the tent. That's where we're going, and that's where we are, and that's what we're seeing today when it comes to Islam and the what they're calling now the squad. I call it the Mod Squad in Washington, in the U.S. House of Representatives, that's taken control of the House. They literally and de facto control the House of Representatives today. Nancy Pelosi is absolutely helpless. She's been hopeless, but now she's helplessly hopeless. But before we get into that dialogue and discussion, let me remind you, we face the issues based on the authority of Scripture and what God would have us to do, in particular as Christians. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold," it's Jesus speaking, "I send you forth as sheep into the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Jesus tells his disciples as they go out that they need to be aware of the dangers in the world. And he gives them that challenge to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that that's a lesson and a little nugget for us out of the Scripture today in relationship to how we should view the world and what's taking place, and especially in America, with what is happening with Islam. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus makes a declaratory statement. He says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the word of God is truth. It is the fountainhead, the formative foundation, and the fountainhead of truth, of all truth. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, when we find what's taking place in society today, we're being bombarded by Islamic doctrine, Islamic control, and Islamic thought. And as a result of that, somehow, some way, even among Christians today, there's a philosophy and a feeling that, well, it must be all right. Well, it's not all right. And the philosophy that we must just tolerate and sit back. In fact, I want to tell you today, I've got in my hand my book that I had the privilege of publishing a number of years ago. It's called Is Islam Tolerant? It's about 25 chapters, about 335 pages, retails for about $19.99, $20 book. I want to tell you today that if you want to support this broadcast for this month and in the future, you want to support this broadcast, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact information for someone to get back with you. We can make arrangements so that you can have your charge card debited, $10, $15, $20, whatever it is per month, that you can undergird and support this broadcast going forth. We'll send you this book free. We'll pay the postage and the shipping charges on it. It's a $20 book, 335 pages, 25 chapters. And if you wonder what Islam is about, it is a wonderful treatise on the subject of Islam, and to answer the question, the title is Islam Tolerant? The question is absolutely, emphatically, de facto, no, it's not intolerant. They push for us to be tolerant. They demand that we show them tolerance, but they're the most intolerant, unholy, demonic, ungodly group on the face of the globe. Now, if you're listening, that hurts your feelings. I'm not going to apologize. Someone said on one occasion, "I'm an equal offender when it comes to telling the truth and taking a stand on the truth, if it offends, then so be it. I believe that we need to wake up, smell the roses, and recognize what is taking place in America today and understand the dangers of it. If you wonder what the FBI thought back in 2006 in relationship to the 9/11, here in my book on page 36 says the Quran and the Pentagon, in a news article from WorldNet Daily dated September 27, 2006, the Pentagon was tasked with the intelligence analysis to pinpoint what's driving Muslim after Muslim to do the unthinkable. The finding is politically explosive. It's their, quote, holy book, the Quran, says the Pentagon. The Pentagon's intelligence analysis reached the conclusion that Muslim suicide bombers are in fact students of the Quran who are motivated to violence by the teachings of the Quran. In Islam, it's not how one lives one's life that guarantees spiritual salvation, but how one dies, according to the Pentagon's intelligence briefing report. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is just simply a little tidbit of what you find in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? But may I remind us, we've all heard, and I've stated it just a moment ago, we've all heard the little old saying, just let a camel get his nose in the tent, and the camel will get in the tent. Well, we've done that with the Islamic jihadists in America today. We've done that. In 2018, across America, we had about 100 Islamics running for city, county, state, and national offices. Multitudes of them won seats, and now we are witnessing the ultimate takeover. Listen, I'm not being extreme. This is not an extreme statement. I can validate everything that I'm saying to you today on this broadcast. By the way, if you want to jump in and ask a question about Islam, if you want to challenge me about my position on Islam, love to have you do that. In fact, if you're listening, you're a mealy-mouthed Christian, you feel somehow, some way, I'm being too direct and too harsh, love to hear from you and your rationale biblically for making that statement. If you're listening and you're a pastor today and you don't have spine to stand in your pulpit, you don't have backbone to stand in your pulpit and warn the listeners about what the Word of God says to be ready for the danger that's approaching, and if you don't want to tell your people the truth about Islam, then shame on you. We need to understand that we're in the days that it is absolute spiritual warfare, and we're in the battle for the soul of our nation today. And I am so passionate about it because if we lose control of our constitutional republic and the representative form of government, we're losing it today. But if we lose control of that, we've lost our amendments, the First and Second Amendment in particular, in our Declaration of Independence, where we have the religious liberties, the freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms. Those things are gone under a socialist republic, under a socialist, democratically led, demonically controlled Islamic nation as we're headed. By the way, demographers have already told us. Demographers have said, and it's not my statements, I can validate it for you. Demographers have said that by the year 2050, America will be an Islamically controlled nation. Now, if that doesn't scare your socks off, nothing will. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're already told that another 100-plus will be running for office in 2020 elections, political elections nationwide. So why should this be important? Because we already see what the Islamic Socialist Squad is now doing in Washington. They're implementing Islam into the system of government, and I am concerned about what we see with that. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917. The subject today is dealing with Islam getting into our governmental system and will destroy the warp and the woof that is the foundational fabric for religious liberty, the freedom of speech in America today. It will destroy the church. It will destroy Christians as is being destroyed on the continent of Africa today, where Al-Shabaab is destroying every Christian that they can find, destroying them, burning the churches, destroying, taking their lives, crucifying them, burning them, cutting their heads off as they are not even human beings. So I'm concerned about it, yes. And I believe that we're watching with the squad in Washington, as they're being called now, the four airheads, as some think of them. But I want us to understand they're dangerous. They're wicked smart. They're dangerous in doing what they're doing. And where we should be concerned about it, the implementation of Islam. These four representatives called the squad are something that should bring our attention to who they are and what they're doing. Here's an article that says Trump tweets frenzy aside. The squad of four freshman congressmen are hardcore radical anti-capitalist socialists who want open borders. That's just part of it, ladies and gentlemen. This particular article that I'm reading from there, they're talking about the open borders. And that's open borders is bad enough. But ladies and gentlemen, that's just part. That's the tip of the spear. That's the tip of the iceberg as to what's taking place with this mod squad, as I call them, that's in Washington. Here's some information about these four. Representative Ilhan Omar, born in Somalia. Muslim Ilhan Omar was elected to Congress by the people of Minnesota's 5th District. She is openly anti-Islam, anti-Israel. She is anti-Semitic. In 2012 tweet, for instance, the Democrat explained, quote, that Israel has hypnotized the world. Many Allah awakened the people and helped them see the evil doings of Islam. Notice she says, may Allah, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Allah is not God. Allah is not the creator, controller of the universe. Allah is the, go back and you study it, the 6th and 7th century. Allah was the moon god that the Bedouins of that day worshipped and prayed to for rain. Allah is not God. When Muhammad went into the Kaaba box in Mecca and discovered the 360 gods, he destroyed all of the little gods sitting on the shelf in the room. All of them were destroyed and discarded, except Allah, the moon god. And that's what the Islamics worship around the globe today. And that's what is being brought into America today. And even Christians think, well, Allah and God are the same. So therefore, preacher, you ought not say anything about Allah. Islam means submission. It is a goal of bringing about global submission to the feet of Allah. And this Ilhan Omar says, may Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel, end quote. Omar has repeatedly bragged about openly about pushing a radical progressive agenda in Washington, especially within the context of these four alliances in the what's called the squad today. Then here's Rashid Tlaib. Muslim Congresswoman Rashid Tlaib doesn't like President Trump. She doesn't like the Jews or the nation of Israel. She's made multiple anti-Jewish and anti-Israel statements that drew fiery condemnation. Additionally, she supports the anti-Semitic BDS movement that is taking away anything, any monies and any funds away from any organization or structure in Islam and Israel that supports or any nation or any company that supports Israel. She seeks to punish Israel economically. She has high-level supporters, though, former President Barack Hussein Obama told Tlaib how proud he was of her. And then there's the Alexander Ocasio-Cortez. What can we say about this? Low information nut job, one writer said, that has not already been said. But ladies and gentlemen, George Soros and his puppet factory, AOC is just one of his puppets. That might sound funny, that might sound odd, but she's bought and paid for by George Soros and his puppet factory. That's put her in place to do exactly what she's doing. She's against borders, and George Soros is a globalist. He's against borders. George Soros, by the way, a mega billionaire, has about 219 different corporate entities operating in America and operating around with the tentacles around the globe, each of them with a sole goal of undermining anything that's called the sovereignty of any nation. And the sovereignty of the United States of America is foremost by its borders, and Soros is for electing anybody that will destroy the borders. Here's the other one, Ayanna Pressley. All of the women in the group, Ayanna Pressley is the one flying the farthest below the radar. I do not know very much, this article says, about her and her politics, but a quick research produced this on her ties to communism and the communist China. Pressley also hosted an event with the Nation of Islam members outside the radical mosque. At least part of Pressley's success can be traced her long-term association with the Boston chapter of the Chinese Progressive Association, which is aligned with the Communist Party of China. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a pretty good Duke's mixture and mixed bag in this mod squad, the four in Washington that's a thorn in the side of Nancy Pelosi, led by AOC. Which the mod squad, the four, happens to be the de facto leaders of the House and not Nancy Pelosi. But I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, where all of this is going, because it's not just by happenstance that these things are taking place. It is by contrived planning on the part of the globalists linked with the Islamics to take America down and to bring America, as one Islamic said, from the White House to make it a black house. A black house indicating their black flag that will fly over the White House and be a communist, socialist, Islamic nation. And that's where they're headed. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when we understand what is taking place, it appears that Nancy Pelosi is totally under what I call the demonic spell of the Islamic squad that's operating in Washington today, headed up by AOC. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not sit by. We cannot just be silent as Christians. We cannot be silent as conservatives. Every Christian must be concerned. And as I said a moment ago, demographers have already lined it out without any equivocation. America will be an Islamically controlled nation by 2050. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it will be under Islamic control, but we still have an opportunity today. Perhaps you say, if that's the case and we're headed there, why should we speak out? Why should we stand up? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God has called Christians in particular to be salt and light in a society where we're being destroyed, we're rotting from inside, and where there is darkness on every hand. We need to take a stand for that which we see taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just outline for us on this broadcast today, and it had to be brief. I can't go into great detail because of the time constraint. I've said for the past several years we need a one-hour broadcast, and I'm praying that Mr. Hoot's listening. But anyway, we need a one-hour broadcast, a half hour with the intro and outro. You just simply cannot get to the root of any situation or any illustration or any issue that you're dealing with. But nevertheless, pray that God will open the doors for that. Pray that God will speak to hearts for the undergirding and the support of this broadcast financially. If you like what you're hearing, if it's a blessing to you, if it's a challenge to you, write a check and send it, payable to First Conservative Baptist Church, for the Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Somebody said on one occasion, put your money where your mouth is. And I think it's time Christians speak up and stand up. We'll go to a ball game, spend $50, $60, $100, $200 or more for a ticket, and go to church and drop in a dollar in the offering plate. That's a stench in the nostrils of God. But we need to, if this broadcast is beneficial, a blessing to you, then support it. I've had multitudes in the past several years say, well, you don't ever talk about somebody supporting the broadcast financially. I say, I'm the world's worst for asking anybody for dollars. I'm the world's worst for asking you to support it. So I must just simply say very briefly, if you want to see this broadcast continue on the air, and with the 30 minutes, or prayerfully having it broadened to 45 minutes an hour, then support it by writing a check for the radio broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. Send it made payable to First Conservative Baptist Church. Send it 1221 Old St. Augustine Road. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact information for somebody to call you so you can schedule that on a monthly basis. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The contact telephone number is 831-0917. Let me talk about the four or five different jihads that's being practiced in America and around the globe, primarily in America today. Number one is educational jihad. Educational jihad. The plans to the plans to control America by the educational system of our children. This is now fully being implemented in every governmentally controlled school in the United States of America. In fact, in American public educational system, every textbook that deals with anything about government or social studies will talk about Islam in a bragging fashion. In fact, if it covers anything about religions, and our textbooks generally do, it will have a minuscule half paragraph or a paragraph about Christianity and Judaism, but it will have 5, 10, 15 pages glorifying Islam and praising Allah and Muhammad in a positive sense. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says school bosses forcing Islamic indoctrination. In fact, this article reads, it is only religion in the West of which lobbyists representing its ardents are screaming racism and Islamophobia. and every turn in reply to criticism, she wrote. It's the only religion that is trying to curb Western free speech, the cornerstone of democracy. It's the only religion that mandates the murder of our ardents who choose to leave it, that is, the apostates, the murder of gays, the murder of blasphemers. It is the only religion that is ubiquitously persecuting minorities globally and mandates the rape of infidel women, that is, the non-Muslim women. It is the only religion that has a deep network of ardents engaged in jihad war against all disbelievers, that is, all non-Muslims. Here's an article that says, Muslims reveal their plan. This is frightening, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, Muslims reveal their plan for the United States. And the subtitle says, convert their kids and their families will follow. The article reads very briefly, Muslims in Belgrade, Florida, say they're planning on acquiring a public school building in order to educate children as young as 6 weeks old in the Quran. From 6 weeks old, we will have them, the men said. From 6 weeks old, nap time, listening to the Quran, sisters' uniform in their hijabs. You start with the babies and then all the way up to high school. This is the intention of the faculty here in the school. Bring your kids to Islamic schools. They want to say, they went on to say, their kids will convert and their entire families will convert to Islam. We can demonstrate it here, and that is in Belgrade, Florida, and then scale it up to the rest of the country across America. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't scare your socks off, nothing will. We're watching it take place. It is educational jihad. In our educational system, the governmentally controlled schools today, Islamic prayer time is allowed. A child can get up, a student get up, walk out of the classroom, go down the hallway, or wherever the prayer room is. They've got prayer rooms set up with prayer rugs for the Islamic students to be able to go in without bothering their five times a day prayer schedule, praying to Allah. Textbooks focus on Islam. Not only educational jihad, but sex jihad. Sexual jihad. You might say, well, wow, what's that preacher talking about? Americans are producing 2.3 children per family, and that is, I believe, an old number. It's less than that today. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's not any ethnic group on the face of the globe that can sustain itself as an ethnic group with less than 1.8 children per family. There's a variance in the numbers that I'm quoting from that. But with Islam, they're producing across the nation and around the globe an average of 8.9 children per family. You heard me, 8.9. That is because even though America says that polygamy is illegal, it's being practiced in the United States of America. It's practiced by every Islam on a global basis. And they're producing 8.9 children per couple. As a result of that, just by sex jihad, they can control the globe in a brief period of time. So not only educational jihad and sexual jihad, but political jihad, just as we've now waking up to see the increased push for Islamic jihadists to control America from within the political system. The Squad, for example, in the U.S. House of Representatives are only the tip of the spear for what's intended for America, for the Islamic takeover of our nation. It is frightening to understand, but that is what is taking place today. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please. Hello, hello.
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 Yes, doctor.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with you. You can't understate the problem that this is creating in the country. First of all, Islamic teachings are not compatible with an American way of life. It's that simple. The spread of Islamic studies is, you have it right. It's a very dangerous precedent. And it's kind of sneaking up on a lot of people, and you don't expect it. And it's showing up in places where you can't even imagine. I worked in the criminal justice system for 25 years. And I saw it go from, inmates have rights, and all of a sudden they were the Islamic inmates, and most of them were not from the Middle East or born Islamic. They were converted while in prison or in jail. So that's one of the footholds that this started in. and they get anything they want. You know, the prison system provides it for them. And that's just one example. But I just wanted to say that you are 100% correct, and you are not exaggerating at all this problem.
Well, thank you so much for your call and for your input. You're exactly right. And it saddens me to have to say this. It saddens me to be in agreement with our caller in relationship to the truth of it, but it's facts. And we ought not to shrug our shoulders and turn our backs on the facts. I have in my hand here a book called Sharia Law for the Non-Muslims. And just let me simply read a few of these lines simply to illustrate what our caller just said, which is true. We're talking about Sharia law. That's S-H-A-R-I-A or I-A-H. Either one is correct spelling. Sharia law, which simply means Quranic law. It means law based on the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, we've rejected in our governmentally controlled school system anything called education based on the Bible. We've rejected anything called law according to the Word of God in America today, although all of our laws were formed out of and basically birthed out of the Ten Commandments, which is the Word of God. That's where we get our jurisprudence system today. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're not recognizing the fact that under Islam, under Islamic law, it's a major, major, major difference. For example, I'm reading here on page 2 in the book, Sharia Law for Non-Muslims. Textbooks in America must be approved by the Islamic Council. This is in accordance with Sharia law. American employers and schools must meet the demands for the time and space to do Islamic prayer. These demands are based on Sharia law. The American banking system is becoming Islamicized with Sharia financing. Our banking system is becoming Sharia compliant in financial laws, but ignorant to the totality of Sharia law. Universities are asked to provide sexually segregated swimming pools and other athletic facilities. This is under Islamic law. Hospitals are being sued for not producing and providing Sharia-compliant treatment. No course in the college or critical thinking regarding the history and doctrine of Islam under Sharia. Nothing can be Islamic. Nothing under Islamic law can be criticized. Muslim charities give money to jihadists, Islamic terrorists, as per Sharia law, et cetera, et cetera. But under Sharia law, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, and this is the reason I'm so wrought up, so concerned and passionate about this issue. Under Sharia law, there's no freedom of religion. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of thought. There's no freedom of artistic expression. There's no freedom of the press. There's no equality of people. Non-Muslims are considered kafirs, that is, that they are absolutely unequal. They're not equal to Muslims in Muslim law. There's no equal protection under Sharia law for different classes of people. Justice is dualistic in the Islamic system. There's no equal rights for women in Sharia law. Women can be beaten by their husbands, and Sharia law says it's okay. By the way, just a few years back in Philadelphia, there was a case where a man had beaten his wife half to death, and before the judge, his attorney, the Muslim's attorney, defended him and said his Quran, his religion, allows him to do that. Unknown to the general public at the time, that judge had converted to Islam, and he surrendered the case and said, that's his religion, we cannot rule against that, and ruled in favor of it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sharia law in an American court. There's a term out there in the world today in America called ALAC, American Laws for American Courts, and ALAC, that law that should be passed in Florida, has been defeated by the Islamic lobbyist 3 times in a row in the state of Florida. That is American laws for American courts. You think, well, if we're going to American court, there should be American law and nothing less. But we're watching Islamic law, Sharia law, creep into the American judicial system today. And ladies and gentlemen, it's dangerous because we're watching the takeover of America by the Islamics, and the spear of that today is found in the Mod Squad, the 4 that's in the U.S. House of Representatives. One of them, when she went into office, she was allowed to prevail upon Nancy Pelosi to then have a requirement that even on the House floor, while carrying out United States of America business, the jihadists, the Sharia law compliant Muslims, are allowed to wear their hijabs, their head coverings. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, since the mid-1800s, there was a rule in the House that said you can't have your head covered. Man couldn't wear a hat or a cap. Women could not have a scarf or something over the head. That's been disallowed, and removed today to make way for the Islamic jihadists to come into the United States House of Representatives. ladies and gentlemen, then finally there is not only the political jihad, but then there's the open jihad, the terrorist attacks to tear down and destroy so that they can control. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this study and this broadcast tomorrow. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.